gotta be an idiot to bet on that parlay.
It's DTF or bust.
Put it on my mama's porch tomorrow.
Welcome back to Hold My Bev Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Park. Here with me, as always, the one, the only DTF. Dylan, how's it going?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Had a great weekend of football. I know you got to miss a lot of Saturday's games, unfortunately.
Or all Guards of them. Fest. Just the first game.
Just the first game? Okay. Well, yeah, I guess you didn't really miss that much then.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, we're into the AFC and NFC playoffs now, or conference championships now. So very excited about that. But a couple things I wanted to get into before we get into these recaps from the divisional round. First was Zach Ertz is joining the Detroit Lions practice squad as of right now and could be eligible. Do you see them using him at all?
Great question. I would see them using him in the occurrence that Sam Laporta is not 100% ready to go, like on Super Bowl Sunday, in case next week doesn't go as planned. But I don't think there's any urgency for them to need to play Zach Ertz at the moment. So,
yeah, I think it's a good safety valve. You know, you don't have to bank on him heavy. But with Laporta still dealing with an injury, it gives them a little bit of leeway if they need to take him out some plays, you know, so they're not overplaying him on a what looked to be kind of bad, pretty bad injury. But yeah, that's huge for the Lions team. Very excited to see how they play this weekend. Also, Antonio Pierce was officially hired as the Raiders head coach, no longer interim. I was getting scared that they were going to do the wrong thing on that. I thought it was...
Yeah, Max Crosby's definitely happy about that.
Oh. Yeah, especially since they... he basically made an ultimatum that he was going to ask for a trade if they didn't bring back Antonio Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Eagles decided to fire their defensive coordinator, Sean Desai, which this should have been writing on the wall after he lost his duties for even calling defensive formations in plays. He lost it, I forget what week it was, but I know he got basically demoted. So I figured it had to have been just like any day soon that he would have been losing his job. And they already have people that they're interviewing for it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but Ron Rivera apparently has been linked to them.
Yeah, I did see that one.
Which that might be good for him because I think he's at a point in his life where he, I don't know if he can handle being a head coach anymore. After how everything happened in Washington this season, he just looked drained. I wouldn't have even been surprised if he just stepped away from football in general. Just enjoyed a year. And then our Browns actually made a move today when we're recording this on Monday. Did you see that we hired a new coach?
What'd they do? No.
Yeah, we hired a tight ends coach. He was the quarterback's coach and... he worked a lot with their passing game or like their passing game plan at Alabama. His name's Tommy Rees.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Other than that, Dylan, did you have any news you wanted to get into at all?
Oh, geez. You know, you got to watch out for people running across basketball courts because Caitlin Clark took a massive hit at the Ohio State game the other night. I think it was blown out of proportion. I think she flopped a little bit. But yeah, it's something fun going on.
It looked like in
We
that
had
video
a
that she.
crazy, I wouldn't call it an up.
Sorry, is there a delay? That there's got to be a little bit of a delay, I think.
There's a delay.
Okay. I think that she kind of ran like into that fan. I don't think that that fan, like, I don't know. It was really fried. It kind of looked like she wanted the smoker attention. But yeah,
Yeah.
go ahead.
If you slow it down, you can see it doesn't look as much like she got hit, but more that she pushed into the fan. But that was just a slow-mo.
Yeah, that is true. Let's see. What else did I see in sports news today?
So Nick Dunlap, 20-year-old out of Alabama, is an amateur golfer, and he ended up just winning the American Express tournament this past weekend, and he is the first amateur to win a PGA event since 1991 when Phil Mickelson won. And they're saying that this is the last time that happened, and it was also the same year that the Lions went to the NFC Championship, I believe. So it was
Oh
like it was the
wow.
same year, and it's been the same amount of time.
Wow, that's crazy. I also saw that he won approximately $0 and 0 cents.
Yeah, so that's the problem when these amateurs get invited to PGA events is they can compete and they can have a chance to win, but when they win, they don't win any actual prize money. So the PGA Tour kind of benefits when these amateurs win because they don't have to pay out any winner. Well, they still have to pay out like second through whatever place, but they don't have to pay out that like 1.6 or $1.9 million prize that he was supposed to win. And unfortunately, because the season has started, I don't think he can get his tour card until next year. Which I think is dumb. I think that the golf season is so weird. Like, it's so long because it's all year. I feel like you should be able to get your tour card at any point of the year. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's weird that you have to get it by a certain time. I think that, like you said, you should be able to get it at any time of the year, especially if a lot of these
Yeah.
golfers can just jump in mid-year.
Yeah. Well, he was obviously not eligible for prize money, but he is now eligible to play in every major this year, including the Masters, which is a very, I mean, that's a great honor to play in, even if you can't win money. You gotta be just blown away that you're a 20-year-old kid getting to play against some of the greatest to ever do it. So, hats off to him. Obviously, he's going back to Alabama with, the chances for NIL, and that's, I mean, that's great.
Oh yeah, no, that's absolutely awesome. I saw that Ohio State actually had some big recruits that they managed to get through the transfer portal. Actually 3 Alabama players. They got the big one in Caleb Downs, and then I think his name is Julian Tseng, who's a freshman quarterback that was ranked 3rd in the nation in his recruiting class of this year, I believe.
He was the number one quarterback of the 2024 class.
Yeah, no, that's huge for us. Yeah, Julian Tseng was the name. We got another player as well. I believe he's a lineman. I'm trying to find his name. Where's it at? But he was from Alabama. We also got a tight end from OU, which was or Ohio University, I should say. Who was, I think, the 24th ranked tight end in the country or something like that? Or in the transfer portal, maybe. All I know is Ohio State looks like a completely different animal. I still think that they need to move on from Ryan Day, but Ryan Day's got to be doing something right if he's getting these kind of guys in.
Yeah, I mean the Bill O'Brien hire alone was enough to get Downs and Saiyan to sign. So there's a bright future again for Ohio State.
Yeah, when it was starting to look down, they only let us be down for like a month or so. So, I'm back to looking forward to Buckeyes football this season. And hopefully, we can beat Michigan. It's all I care about. Let's see, what else did we have? Oh, did you get to see any of Andrew Berry's press conference today?
I did not.
You did not? So he talked about Nick Chubb and his progress after surgery, how he plans to be back with the team this season. Even though I know there were some people that were kind of skeptical on what Andrew Berry said when he was talking about Nick Chubb, like he was talking about trading him, and I think that'd be the worst move that the Browns could make. I get it that we made it so far without him this year, but we didn't really. We made it to the first round of the playoffs. Let's be real.
We would have made it so much further with him.
Exactly. So I hope that we get to keep him this year and we don't do any stupid moves. I know he mentioned talking about wanting to bring Joe Flacco back if he can. Now, the value of Joe Flacco's contract that he's going to be qualified for, I don't know what people are going to be offering him. Someone's going to be offering him some decent money. My guess is anywhere from like 8 to 10 million, maybe even a little bit more. I wouldn't even be surprised if it was more. But would you want to see Joe Flacco back next season?
Well, of course, I'd like to see him back. The problem is we've given too much money to Deshaun that it doesn't even matter if we bring Joe Flacco back because Deshaun's the starter unless he gets injured, which is always a possibility. And it would be great to have a good backup like Joe Flacco to come in and be able to win games, unlike PJ Walker or DTR. Not saying that DTR couldn't develop into that position, but I think that Joe Flacco's got enough left in the tank that he could start for a team. But at this point in his career, he should be looking for a role like that, a cushiony backup job to kind of going if somebody gets injured. And he said he likes playing in Cleveland. I don't know if that's just bias because he's here now, but of course I'd love to have him back.
Yeah, I would really like to have him back, especially for the reasoning that you just said. We can't depend on a PJ Walker or maybe DTR could do it one day, but we're just at such a crucial point in this franchise's I guess you could say lifespan as a team, where we can't it's win or now it's win or bust essentially. So I really hope that we get to keep Joe Flacco for that reason. And who knows, maybe Deshaun starts really doing really bad one game and they have to ask Mr. Flacco to come save us. You never know. Also, this is actually developing news right now. Gerard Johnson is now the front runner for the Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator job, which Johnson was the Texans quarterback coach for Deshaun Watson and CJ Stroud. So
I
I'm
would
not
have
sure how
never.
I feel about that. I would rather have someone that's a little bit more experienced come in as our OC, but I
Yeah,
mean,
but
who
if you worked
knows?
with Deshaun, they've got history.
Yeah, they have history. That's true. And I figure that he wouldn't be the front runner if Deshaun didn't say he was okay with it. So, yeah, no, that's exciting. Also, not football related, but there was a big trade in the NBA. Pascal Siakam got traded to the Indiana Pacers for a big overhaul. Just thought I'd give that a little shout out. And they lost to the Trailblazers his first game. Just wanted to throw that out there. Other than that, Dylan, are you ready to start getting into this divisional round? Or is there anything else you want to talk about real quick?
No, let's get into this divisional round.
All right, let's go ahead and get into this first game. The Baltimore Ravens beat the Houston Texans 34 to 10. I didn't really get to watch a ton of this game. I actually didn't really get to watch much on Saturday in general. I watched the highlights and I tuned in a little bit to this, like slightly in this game. And it was a close game all the way, it looked like, until close to the fourth quarter, because it was 10-10 for the longest time when I was tuning in. But the Ravens just pulled away. And
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson looks really good.
They're the team to beat, unfortunately. Right now, I think they look like the strongest team out there.
Yeah, and kudos for the Houston Texans. You know, they made it much further than anyone ever could have predicted this season. And it's, you know, something that they should be happy about, and they're gonna have a very bright future going forward. But other than that, I agree with you. I think the Ravens are the team to beat. Lamar, he's gonna win the MVP, no question about it. Number one seed in the AFC. They get to play at home too. So all eyes are going to be on them.
I think after
Next.
watching last week's performance, going into the next game, after watching this performance by Brock Purdy, I think it's set in stone that Lamar Jackson will be MVP.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie. I think even watching this game, I don't know. Other than that last throw by Jordan Love, if you look at the numbers, I think there's at least a decent argument, other than his team's record, that held him out of
Yeah.
the conversation. Because in all honesty, I think Jordan Love's numbers were more impressive than Brock Purdy's
That's fair.
this season, at least this season. But anyways, 49ers beat the Green Bay Packers 24-21. Packers missed a field goal that could have tied the game towards the very end. And they're, I think he's a rookie, correct? Their kicker?
Who's that? Yes,
Carlson?
Carlson.
Yeah. Whose brother is also a kicker and kicks for the, I think he kicks for the Raiders still. Daniel
The Raiders,
Carlson.
yep.
Yeah. But a lot of people were asking on social media this weekend why he was even drafted. Because he did not really have that great of a college career at Auburn. He had a very strong leg, but it was not accurate at all. So I don't know if it
Was
was
that
just
quote
based off of
legit?
that. Which one?
Was that quote le legit from Matt LaFleur that says every time he goes out there, I just pray?
I have no clue.
Oh,
If
I
so,
saw.
there's no way they can keep him.
Yeah.
You don't hear the dogs, do you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, yeah, we have someone moving in downstairs. They have two pit bulls.
Nice.
Yeah, not really happy about it, but anyways, I thought the Packers played really good this season towards the end, even to make it as far as they did, knocking off the fraud Cowboys, and now they're in turmoil and in a really bad place. But the Packers
Yeah.
are in a good place. You know, in all honesty, I can now tell you who Jaden Reed is, and the only other person I could name on that offense was Aaron Jones and Christian Watson, only because he was a first round pick. So to make it as far as they did is impressive. And for everyone wanting to go after the defensive coordinator, he just turned it up.
Yeah.
So Packers fans, I know it sucks to lose to the 49ers yet again, because it seems like they always have your number in the playoffs. But I think you have a lot to look forward to next year, and I think the Lions are going to have a little bit more competition than they did. But speaking of the Lions, that brings us into Sunday's games. The Detroit Lions have made it to the NFC Championship. They defeated Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23. I know Mr. DTF is not too happy about that one.
Yeah, I was happy with whoever won these two games on Sunday. It was obviously pulling for Baker and the Bucks, and I was obviously pulling for Josh Allen just to see a new team win. But with the Buccaneers, you know, it was close the whole game, and then just some mistakes that go down the line, and you know, you get to the final possession and Baker throws an interception that was so unnecessary. You just remember like that was the Baker that was driven out of Cleveland. There was a mistake that was caught on Twitter that everybody was blowing up about. The Lions kneeled the ball early with like 38 seconds left on. It would have made it fourth down. The Bucks still had a timeout that they could have taken, and they could have potentially forced the Lions to kick a long field goal or punt the ball back to the Buccaneers for basically 20, 25 seconds to give it one more shot, but they didn't. I just couldn't believe that.
Yeah, that was a bad call by their coach. I can't remember his name right now. Todd Boyle, right?
Pebbles.
Bowles. I was thinking of Tim Boyle. Yeah, I think that's something that as a head coach in the NFL, you should be able to notice that. But it even went over the commentators' heads too. But that's something you got to realize as an NFL head coach. You got to see that you still have a shot, especially in, you know, still a close game. I mean, you're only down by eight. You knew that going for two as well, that you were going to be down by eight or you were going to be down by seven. Which I actually liked. I'm not going to lie. I actually really liked that call by the Buccaneers to go for two. Because a lot of people, you know, I know they talked about it on TV, but a lot of people would have been like, why wouldn't you just take the points? Well, regardless, it's a one possession game. You get this 2-point conversion, all you got to do is get a touchdown. You have the lead automatically. But I liked it. It was aggressive, especially the way the Buccaneers were driving down the field that last or that scoring drive. Mike Evans looked awesome. Might have been his last game as a Buccaneer. If the reports are still true from earlier this season, that this would be his last year as a Buccaneer. Looking forward to seeing what team he ends up with next year, though.
I hope they re-sign him.
I do too. I don't really see Mike Evans in another uniform. Anytime I think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's the first person I think of, other than Tom Brady. Or Jameis Winston.
Yeah, JMO.
The fake Neil. I think this last game, though, is what everyone is wanting to hear us talk about. We had the Taylor Swift Bowl in Buffalo. Kansas City Chiefs ended up beating the Buffalo Bills again in the playoffs, 27-24. Tyler Bass had a field goal at the end to tie the game. Do you remember how far away it was? I didn't think it was that far. Not that I could
It was
kick it, but.
inside 50.
Yeah, I thought it was like a low 40-yard field goal. I just know they shanked it super far right.
Wide right.
Yeah, that was bad. You know, I feel bad for Josh Allen. He can't catch a break. He was also getting a lot of slack on all television today, like all over ESPN. People were giving him shit. Oh, even though you got hit, why didn't you step into that throw a little bit more in crunch time to get it to? They're talking about when Shakir would have gotten a touchdown. That's if he caught it, of
Yeah, but
course, but.
how about when Stephon Diggs just completely missed a 65-yard bomb?
That was a really bad drop. I That's another thing I wanted to talk about. I think that he's washed. I think he's done. I don't
Yeah.
think if you're the Buffalo Bills, you can possibly bring him back.
Yeah, for somebody who is complaining, for 2 seasons about, well, we don't really know for sure if he was complaining about wanting out. I mean, there's always been the rumor that he wants out, but like it almost seems like he was the problem. Like Josh Allen was busting his ass the entire game, and he threw you a complete missile and a complete, I mean, it was
He was on the
right
money.
to him. Yeah, right to him. And he drops it, goes right through his hands. How does that even happen?
Yeah, you can't possibly be considered a top five wide receiver. And honestly, it's even a debate now if he's top 10. I think he's on the lower end on the top 10 list of wide receivers in the game right now. And that's unfortunate. That's a huge fall off. And Josh Allen, I'm not gonna lie, Josh Allen deserves a lot better than that. And I actually feel really bad for Josh Allen. Because I think that he played good enough to win that game. His receivers just failed him.
Yeah, I agree. I
I
mean,
mean,
he
he
was
got
playing.
what, two rushing touchdowns?
Yeah, 2 rushing touchdowns. He ties the single season record with Jalen Hurts at 18 rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think, and I was sort of against it when I first heard it, but I think he's the only other player that you could have considered for the MVP award this year. For the
Yeah.
way their season finished, the regular season, basically being in a situation of you're the number two seed or you might not even make the playoffs. I think that, his name at least should be thrown in the hat. I think he'll get a couple of votes, but I think ultimately Lamar Jackson's going to be the MVP. But yeah, that's basically it. Oh, also, the Chiefs offense, this is the best they looked all season. All season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Travis Kelce had a burst of life. He had his whole family in that box. Jason Kelce outshined Taylor Swift, in my opinion. The shirtless, handsome gorilla chugging beers. And he was jumping out of the box. He picked up little girls at one point and was like showing them Taylor in the box. It was just great. It was great sideshow attraction for that game. Travis getting 2 touchdowns was great to see as well. It was a good game, but again, like I had said before, I was okay with whoever won that game, but I was really pulling for Josh just to see him win because he does deserve it. Hopefully the Bills can turn around next season. They didn't have Gabe Davis and they lost. Who'd they lose late in the game? Was it Shaker?
I think so.
Yeah, so it's tough when you're trying to come back and win
He
a game. I mean, it
came
was,
back though. He came back.
yeah, I
Yeah.
saw that. That game was going to come down to whoever had the ball last, but it was hard fought. They just came up short,
Yeah.
came up
What?
right.
Yeah, they gave us another classic to remember. I don't think any of their matchups will come close to the overtime game.
I was really hoping that this would have gone to overtime, 27-27. Bills get the ball first and score.
Oh
But
yeah,
then.
no, it would have made this rivalry 10 times bigger.
Yeah. Well, especially after the overtime rules was for the Bills.
Yeah, but it was a great week of NFL playoffs. I'm looking forward to this weekend. Hopefully we'll be able to catch both of them now that they're both on Sunday. But other than that, Dylan, anything else you wanted to talk about before we get off?
We are down to our final 3 games. We've got 3 weeks left, including the Pro Bowl games, which we'll be tuning into a little bit.
Slightly.
Make sure, yeah, just a little bit. Tune in later on this week for our picks for the weekend. We'll see if the lad's back and ready to come on. Gamble responsibly this week. Just don't be a degenerate like the lad. Call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have any problems. Peace.
Peace.